An Osho Talk. The great Zen master, Ta Hui, reflections on the transformation of an intellectual to enlightenment. Number 33.
Silent illumination. Old Pang said, just resolve to empty all that exists. Don't make real all that doesn't exist. Just master these two propositions, and your whole life's task of study is completed. These days, there's a breed of shaven-headed outsiders whose own eyes are not clear, who just teach people to stop and rest and play dead. Even if you stop and rest like this until 1,000 Buddhas appear in the world, you still won't be able to stop and rest. You'll be making your mind even more confused and troubled. They teach people to keep the mind still, to forget feelings, according to circumstances, to practice silent illumination. As they go on and on illuminating and keeping the mind still, they add to their confusion and oppression with no end to it. Utterly losing the expedient means of the patriarchs, they instruct others wrongly, teaching people to go on in vain and wastefully with birth and death. Furthermore, they teach people not to care about this state of affairs. Simply go on putting things to rest this way, they'll say, when you've stopped feelings as they come and thoughts are not produced. At such a time, it's not unknowing silence. In fact, it's alert and awake and perfectly clear. This kind is even more pernicious, blinding people's eyes. To say that when one has put things to rest to the point that he is unawares and unknowing, like earth, wood, tile, or stone, this is not unknowing silence. This is a view born of wrongly taking too literally words that were only expedient means to free bonds. To teach people to reflect according to circumstances and take care not to let any bad perceptions appear, this again is an interpretation produced by accepting the skull's emotional consciousness. All the above diseases are not the student's doings. They're all due to the wrong instructions of blind teachers.
Man has been miserable. Not without any reasons. The reasons are of his own making. hence release is possible. But very few people have experienced absolute freedom. There are 1001 causes why this calamity has happened to humanity. It is just like a vast garden of thousands of rose bushes, and only once in a while a flower blossoms on a rose bush. And the remaining thousands of bushes simply remain barren. They also have the same potential, but something has gone wrong in their structure. Tahui is trying here to sow few fundamental errors that have been made by man, and he continues to make them, which hinder his own growth. Most of the causes that have destroyed your dignity, your pride, your glory, your splendor, are the doings of so-called teachers. There is a subtle egoistic joy to teach. Because the moment you teach someone, without saying anything, you have become higher. You know, and the other does not know. This has created a great trouble for human beings. So many false teachers go on appearing. Perhaps it is the greatest crime in the world to teach things which you have not experienced. But what are your bishops and cardinals and popes, imams and Shankaracharyas? Just a long line of false teachers. They don't know what they are saying. They may be quoting the right scriptures. Their words may be coming from right sources, but it is not the sources and not the scriptures. It is the man who speaks, which is the ultimate criterion whether what he says is true or not. One great master, Naropa, has repeatedly said one thing: don't listen to what I say, listen to me. It does not matter what I say, what matters is what I am. A true teacher speaks out of spontaneity, experience, awareness, his own realization. And the false teacher is very learned. He knows all the scriptures. He quotes them beautifully, and he can easily deceive people. In fact, it is very difficult not to be deceived by such a person, because you don't know how to judge. He is speaking the right words, but his right words are just like gramophone record. You cannot make a gramophone record your master. It is absolutely true what it is saying, but there is no one inside. It's just a dead record. Your memory is also a dead record. Teachers teach through memory. Masters teach through awareness, intelligence. Hence it is possible to find inconsistencies and contradictions in masters. In fact, they are bound to be found. This can be used as a criterion. If somebody is continuously consistent, he cannot be a master. He is only repeating things mechanically. The master has to respond each moment, and each moment is different. The master never answers the question, he always answers the questioner, and the questioners are different. The master is not concerned whether what he says is in tune with the scriptures, tradition, convention, or it is against. His whole and sole concern is the real person whom he is encountering. Nothing else matters. But the false teachers have not stopped and will never stop. It is so easy to be learned. It is so difficult to be wise. Any idiot can be learned. All that he needs is a good memory system, a good biocomputer. But to be an authentic master, is a rare flowering, and one has to understand some indications through which he can make a judgment to avoid the false and to listen to the authentic. The first thing is, the false teacher is always repeating somebody else's words. He has none of his own. All his statements are within quotation marks. The second thing, the false teacher, however articulate, learned, clever, but he will not be able to practice what he preaches. Look at the man rather than looking at his words, and you will see the disparity. In one a small village, there were two brothers, twin brothers, and the whole village was in always in a difficulty to recognize who is who. One was a doctor and the other was a priest. A stranger has come to the town, he saw both the persons, he could not believe his eyes. They were not exactly alike, but they used to have the same clothes, same hairstyle. It was almost impossible to make a distinction. He approached one of them and said, "Is there a way to make a distinction between you two? Only you can say." This brother was the doctor. He says, "Yes, there is only one way. He preaches and I practice." The false teacher only preaches. If you look at his practice, you will be very much disappointed. He goes against his own statements continuously. Thirdly, which needs a little more intelligence and awareness, in deciding, the false teacher is always hesitant. He himself is not certain what he is saying is true or not, because it is all borrowed. But the true teacher is absolute authority. What he says, he means. And he says only what that which he means. The teacher is only paying a lip service to all good things that have been told. You will not find any original freshness. He stinks of dead corpses, very ancient corpses. The authentic master has a freshness, a newness. You may go on hearing him for ages, but you will never feel that he is stale, because it is always coming from the original source. Consider things that Tahui wants to point to you. Old Pang said, just resolve to empty all that exists. Don't make real all that does not exist. Just master these two propositions and you and your whole life's task of study is completed. With the masters you will always find something strange, because you are unfamiliar with their world. It is untrodden. With the teachers, you will find very familiar things, which you also know, you have heard them. In every church, the same sermon. In every temple, the same discourse. The whole atmosphere is filled with old and rotten statements. With the real master, you will always find something is strange, some wild flower which does not grow. In ordinary, day-to-day house gardens, its taste, its fragrance, its color, its form, everything will have a newness. Now what Master Pang says is absolutely unique. Nobody has ever said that. Just resolve to empty all that edges. He is making statements, and in those two statements he says, your whole religion is complete. Resolve to empty all that edges. Don't make real all that does not exist. And people are doing just the opposite. They go on creating the unreal, that which does not exist. What do you know about God? But millions of people every day are prey to a fiction. It is pathology. What do you know about heaven and hell? But they have entered deep into your psychology. You are greedy for heaven. Afraid of the hell. And these are all non-existent things. Pang is saying, don't create that which does not exist. And that which exists empty your mind of all attachment with it. Of all infatuation with it, because your infatuation is your bondage. If you are not infatuated with that which exists, and you are not imaginative of creating gods and ghosts, what is left? A simple silence, a pure serenity, an undisturbed, unruffled consciousness. And that is it. Hence, old Pang is right. Within two simple sentences, he has condensed all the teachings of all the awakened people. There are thousands of scriptures but these two statements are enough. Anything else is just unnecessary fabrication. By the deluded people, for the deluded people. And people can get concerned with such stupid things that you cannot believe. In the Middle Ages, the Christian theologians had for centuries argued in great treatises you will not believe that what kind of idiots were these theologians. Their problem was how many angels can stand on the point of a needle. And what is your concern? But it became such a great problem, as if your life depended on it, whether one angel more or less can stand those angels are fictitious. And why? Even those fictitious angels should stand on the point of a needle. But it was very serious matter. And it remained almost for 3-4 centuries, continuously debated by great theologians, philosophers. If you look into the history of religions, you will find such stupidities that you cannot believe that this is our heritage, that these are the old sources of our so-called great religions. For 2,000 years Christians had been arguing and insisting that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary. Now what does it matter? Even if he is born of a Virgin Mary, he can be wrong. Just by being born by a Virgin Mary, you don't become right. In fact, more possibility is that from the very beginning you are wrong. But even today, the Pope insists that this is our fundamental principle. What will be Christianity if three things are removed, which are all fictitious? One is the virgin birth of Jesus, which can be cancelled without any trouble. One young girl was brought to a doctor by his old friend, the mother of the girl, and she was very much worried because it was so apparent that the girl was at least 7 or 8 months pregnant. There was no need for any test. Still, the doctor took the test and she said, "I am sorry, but nothing can be done. It is too late now. Abortion is dangerous." The girl is pregnant. But the mother said, "How it can be? Because I never allow her any chances." And the girl said, "I have not even touched the hand of any man. How I can be pregnant?" The doctor looked at both and went to the window and looked at the sky. For a moment there was silence, then the mother said, "What are you doing there?" He said, "I am waiting for the three wise men from the east. If it is true that she has not even touched the hand of a man, and you insist, then the miracle has happened again. She is a virgin mother. You should rejoice. Why you are looking so miserable?" Just few days before, Pope has again insisted that few Christian thinkers are feeling awkward about this virgin birth. He has insisted that that is one of the greatest pillars. The second pillar is that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Nobody knows about this fellow God. And except Jesus' own statement, there is no other evidence or any proof. But the whole Christianity depends on the statement of Jesus. No contemporary thinker, no contemporary literature even bothers to mention it, that Jesus is the Son of God, not only the Son, but the only begotten Son. It is great. Fictions are creating sons and daughters. They don't have any evidence of their own existence. And what is so great in Jesus that he should be the only begotten Son of God? Why not Gautam Buddha? Why not Bodhidharma? Why not Mahakashyapa? Why not Tahui? Why not you? Just you need a little courage and a little craziness and you can declare, I am the only begotten Son of God. No proofs are needed because neither Jesus has given any proof. And the third, the Trinity of God, the Father, and Jesus, the Son, and Holy Ghost. This Holy Ghost is the strangest guy you can come across. And this Holy Ghost is the person who made the poor Virgin Mary pregnant. And still he is holy. Then what will be the meaning of unholy? And it is strange that for centuries Christians themselves have insisted that it looks strange, this Trinity, because there is no woman in it. It looks incomplete. It does not look a complete family. What is wrong to accept Mary, which is worshipped by Catholics, to be part of this highest hierarchy, but the woman, just because she is the woman, cannot be accepted at that high pedestal. The criminal ghost can be accepted. Just the other day, an Italian sannyasin has asked me, that he wants to put it on record, he is collecting my statements. That what do I think about illegitimate children? I said to him, there are no illegitimate children. There are only illegitimate parents. How can a child be illegitimate? And who are the illegitimate parents? Not necessarily those who are not married. Any child born not of love makes the parents illegitimate. Whether they are married or not is irrelevant. But the child certainly is never illegitimate. This illegitimate person, Holy Ghost, is part of God's Trinity. He is part of God. These are three phases of God. But the woman cannot be accepted. And these are the three fundamentals, the three pillars of Christianity. If you remove these three, the whole edifice of 2,000 years disappears like a soap bubble. But what is so great in all these ideas? And those who have been teaching these ideas can only be called false teachers, misguiding humanity. And you cannot question them. Your question will bring condemnation to you. And this is not only so about Christianity. This is about all the religions. Religions should be a very simple pure and innocent affair. it should not be made complicated by unnecessary superstitions, stupidities. Old Pang has given you the whole religion in two small statements. Empty yourself with all attachment, with all infatuation, with all ambition of that which exists. And don't create fictions. And nothing more is needed. This is an authentic master. Bringing to the essential of pure serenity of your being, in tune with the blissfulness of existence. You are one with this silence. And how marvelous it is, and how wonderful. Can you think that something more is needed to rejoice and dance and sing? Religion, to be authentic, has to be concerned with man's transformation, not with these stupid ideas. Whether they are real or unreal does not matter. These days, and unfortunately, although 1,000 years have passed since Tahui, those days still continue. These days there are a breed of seven-headed outsiders. I want to emphasize the word outsiders. Humanity can be divided in that way very easily. The insiders and the outsiders. The insiders are very few. Those who know the inside story, the inside mystery, and the outsiders are millions. Who are just standing out of themselves, and never trying to figure out what it is that makes them tick. What it is that is their life. What it is that is their consciousness. What it is, that is their love. Simple matters but the outsiders are concerned with far away stars, quasars. Remote galaxies so remote that there is no possibility that the earth will ever come in contact with them. Because the universe has been found expanding. It is just like a balloon which goes on becoming bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And all the stars that you see are running away from some center which science has not yet been able to decide. But there is some center from where all these stars are running far away with tremendous speed. Now the old fools were concerned with God, Holy Ghost, the virgin birth, and the new fools are concerned with the galaxies, millions of light years away. They have changed their objects, but they have not changed their vision. They are still looking outwards. The outsider is one who is looking always outside. He is never at home. And religion is basically the experience of the insider. He closes his eyes and enters into the depths of his being, into the silences of his heart, and finally into the mysterious source of life, of all consciousness. And this is the only contentment. The only fulfillment. The only realization. That for the first time there are no more any problems, no more any questions. You don't know anything, but your capacity of knowing is absolutely clear. You are just a pure mirror without any dust. These days there is a breed of seven-headed outsiders whose own eyes are not clear, who just teach people to stop and rest and play dead. Most of the religions have been teaching you to renounce the world, which cuts most of your life. To renounce all pleasures that cuts your remaining life. Become more and more dead and you are coming closer and closer to God. This is a very strange God. God can be synonymous with life, then it has some meaning. But God synonymous with death, but this is what your saints have done. They have become fossils. Although they breathe, but they have died to life in all its concerns. They have withdrawn all their sensitivity, their love, their joy. They have become shrunken. But even then, Tahui is right. Even if you stop and rest like this until 1,000 Buddhas appear in the world, you still won't be able to stop and rest. You will be making your mind even more confused and troubled. This overwhelming, poisonous idea of renouncing the world, of renouncing pleasures, of renouncing body, of renouncing all that can make your life a little juicy, a little musical, a little poetic. And just be like a stone. Still your mind inside will be in a turmoil. There is a beautiful story in Mullah Nasruddin's life. He has been cutting wood. And his donkey was standing by the side. He will load the wood on the donkey and take it home. But he was feeling too tired and it was a hot afternoon. And the shadow of the tree was alluring. So he allowed himself a little relaxation. And just then, a group of wolves came around. Seeing the wolves, Mulla thought it is better to pretend dead. Because it is known that wolves don't eat the dead corpses. They want fresh food. They are not interested in canned food. So he stopped his breathing, but by his corner of his eyes he was looking about the donkey, because that was the problem. He is dead and the donkey is a fool, and those wolves started eating his donkey. Now he is seeing it. A great turmoil inside, but he is pretending to be dead. And finally he forgot and said, okay, you can kill my donkey because I am dead. If I had been alive, I would have shown to you what it means to attack my donkey. This was going inside his mind and it came out of his mouth. It was just a coincidence that few people arrived and he was saved. But I want to tell you this story because he was pretending to be dead. He was not dead. All your saints are pretending to be dead. They are not dead. How can they be? But all the religions have respected these dead people. And because of this respect for dead people, as a counterpart, there is a condemnation for living people. To be alive, fully alive, singing and dancing, rejoicing in the pleasures of existence, has become a sin according to all religions. Condensed to the essentials, life is sin and death is virtue. My own experience is just the opposite. Opposite of all these religions. Life is virtue. And the more alive you are, the more virtuous. The more sensitive you are, the more religious. The more dimensions you have in your life, the more spiritual. Leave that old style of saintliness to the idiots. Because they cannot do anything else. But they can do that saintliness very perfectly. My own understanding is that all your great saints are perfect idiots. They have not understood even the ABC of the mysteries of life. And they have fallen in the trap of false teachers. They teach people to keep the mind still. To forget feelings according to circumstances, to practice silent illumination. They use beautiful words, because all those words are available in thousands of scriptures. But they don't know. One cannot keep the mind still. Either you have the mind or you don't have it. A still mind is a contradiction in terms. One American famous rabbi, Joshua Learman, has written a book, Peace of Mind. I don't know whether he is still alive or not. But I was a student in the university when I came across the book. I wrote him a letter that even the title of your book is a contradiction in terms. Peace of mind is simply absurd. When mind is not, there is peace. When mind is, there is no peace. Hence, peace of mind is simply befooling people. But perhaps you yourself think, and his book has been sold in millions because everybody wants peace of mind, and so cheap, in a paperback edition, But I have never come across any man who has attained peace of mind by reading Rabbi Joshua Lieberman's book. I was in the habit of writing letters to people, but it is an unfortunate situation that none of them has the courage to answer it. Perhaps they could see the point, and it was better to remain silent. The people who are telling to others, keep the mind still. Who is going to keep the mind still? You cannot force the mind to stillness. Mind has to be transcended. And in the transcendence of mind, in the realization that you are not the mind, suddenly the stillness, the peace, the calm, the quietude. As they go on and on illuminating and keeping the mind still, they add to their confusion and operation with no end to it. Utterly losing the expedient means of the patriarchs, they instruct others wrongly, teaching people to go on in vain and wastefully with birth and death. Furthermore, they teach people not to care about this state of affairs, simply go on putting things to rest this way. They will say, when you have stopped feelings as they come and thoughts are not produced at such a time, it is not unknowing silence. In fact, it is alert and awake and perfectly clear. These are deeper realities of life. You can attain a certain state of controlled silence, forced silence. But it will be dead. It will be like a bird on the wing you see, so beautiful, and you catch hold of it, and you put it in a golden cage, and you may think it is the same bird. It is not. Apparently it is, but the bird on the wing and the bird, the same bird inside the cage, are two different beings. The bird on the wing has the holy sky. He has a soul. He has an individuality. He has a duty. The same bird inside the cage is just dead. It has lost its sky. It has lost its freedom. It has lost its individuality. And what it has gained to the bird, the golden cage does not mean anything. Golden or steel are all the same. People in the name of religion have been trying to force themselves into a cage of discipline, precepts, hoping that they will attain to great illumination, alertness, awareness, enlightenment. It is not possible. If you want to be aware, you have to start with awareness. If you want to be free, you have to start with freedom. Whatever you want to be, your first step is the indication of your last finding realization. You cannot do by creating yourself a slave of doctrines, precepts, moralities, and hope that these will bring awareness, the ultimate flowering of your being. Although it is true, if the ultimate flowering of awareness happens, you will have a morality, but that will have a totally different nuance to it. It will be your own. Not of Moses, not of Manu, not of Confucius. It will not be a bondage, it will not be a burden, it will not be a commandment that you have to do it. You will simply rejoice to do it. It will not be a duty. It will be simply your joy. I have heard that when God created the world, He went to the Babylonians and said, "Would you like to have a commandment?" They said, "What is the commandment?" He said, "Thou shall not commit adultery." They said, "Forgive us. Without adultery, what is the point of living? You just find somebody else." He went to the Egyptians and he went all around and nobody was ready to accept a commandment. And I think they were all right. Commandments cannot be from somebody else, otherwise they make you a slave. They should arise from your own understanding. Then they are not commandments, they are sheer joy. But poor Moses got into the trouble. Just being a Jew, he asked the wrong question. When God asked Moses, "Baby, would you like to have a commandment?" Moses says, "How much it costs?" He did not ask what is the commandment. He asked the price. God said it is free. Moses said, "Then I will have 10. If it is free, and under those 10 commandments, for 4,000 years Jews have been crushed. You certainly need a morality, but it has to arise out of your own love, out of your own reverence for life. It has to be your own. It needs your signature. It cannot be a blind belief. It cannot be a duty that you have been conditioned to fulfill. It has to be your freedom. An authentically religious man is immoral. He has no morality ready-made. Each moment he responds with love and reverence, and that is his morality. This kind is even more pernicious, blinding people's eyes. When teachers start talking about illumination, enlightenment, stilling the mind. They use beautiful words to create a prison cell for you. What you need is freedom from all prisons. The past has been continuously creating prisons upon prisons. You need a release. And only you can give this gift to yourself. I can only make you aware that you have the capacity. That's the function of the Master. He can only make you aware of your potential, of your possibilities, and then he leaves you to your own decision. To say that when one has put things to rest to the point that he is unawares and unknowing, like earth, wood, tile or stone, this is not unknowing silence. This is a view born of wrongly taking too literally words that were only expedient means to free bonds. The false teachers are collecting words, beautiful words. They are good collectors, but they don't know the context. Because the context is not present in the scriptures. The context is always present in a living master. To teach people to reflect according to circumstances and take care not to let any bad perceptions appear. This again is an interpretation produced by accepting the skull's emotional consciousness. All the above diseases are not the student's doings. They are all due to the wrong instructions of blind teachers. It will be a great day in the history of man when at least one becomes this much responsible that to say something that he does not experience himself is ugly, is criminal, it is the greatest sin. If false teachers disappear from the world, there will be a tremendous revolution. Because the people who get caught into the nets of the false teachers are really seekers. But they don't know where to go. They don't know how to judge. And they can be forgiven because they are only searching and looking . It is the greatest blessing to have found a living master. And it is the most difficult thing, because the living master will be condemned by the whole world. So you will be prevented by the condemnation. And the false teachers will be appreciated, honored, respected, and naturally you will see if the whole world respects, honors, then these must be the right people. It is just the opposite. The authentic master has been always condemned by the contemporaries. So whenever you find a man condemned unanimously by all, he has something. Otherwise, why the whole world should be disturbed by him? When the world appreciates, respects, gives honors and awards, beware. This is a false teacher. He is honored because he is serving the wasted interests of the society. If you can keep this a small criterion, it is always possible to find the right master. And without a right master, things which are very simple will become so complicated. Things which can happen right now does not happen for lives together. Beware of the honored ones. If somebody is condemned and condemned unanimously, that man is bringing truth into the world, which is living in all kinds of lies. Be with him. Take the risk, and your reward will be tremendously great.